Well, hello, and welcome to the fifth episode of Tell Me, the podcast series, which focuses on the power of one, which allows each of us to create a moment that can change a life for the better. I hope everyone is doing well. I am Lisa O'Salas-Graham, and I am so delighted and honored that you decided to take a walk with us today. I have a wonderful guest with me. His name is John Murphy. And I'm going to read you a little bit about John. He's an amazing person. He is a philanthropist, a businessman, and he has such an endless supply of energy and charisma. He has brought his passion for innovation and excellence to both the entertainment and new product arenas. Now, he's focusing his energies on your health and programs to get people to take action and make positive change in their lives, creating a balance, which we need so much right now. Achieving balance by combining health, wealth, love, and happiness is the Make 100 Healthy Way to a long, full life of vitality. So at this point, I'd like to welcome John in. Hello, John.
Hey, Lisa. Thanks for having me on your show.
I'm delighted and honored. So where are you calling in from?
I'm calling in from Prescott, Arizona. It's called Prescott, but the local folk call it Prescott. And we're in northern Arizona, and it is absolutely beautiful here.
I bet it is. So tell me a little bit about the Make 100 Healthy business that you have and foundation.
Well, the business, Make 100 Healthy, is all about helping people get out of their funk, to recapture their energy, to be able to really fulfill their most grand potential. Okay. And what it comes down to is having a balanced life, mentally, spiritually, physically, financially, socially, environmentally. And what I found was that so many people that really had a sincere desire to improve their quality of life, to feel better, to have better relationships, to just have more balance in their life, tried and failed. And what I really saw over and over was the people that failed, they had a lack of nutrition. They didn't have great diets. And so that spawned me to form the Make 100 Healthy Foundation. Okay. And my goal for the foundation was to reduce obesity and diabetes through teaching people to eat real food that's unprocessed from the earth. And that's how I started my Victory Garden family.
I love this. I'm so excited.
Exploded ever since this crisis that we find ourselves in. The passion to grow your own food has just gone absolutely wild. And out of all the bad things that have come from this, some of the good things are that people are realizing that a strong immune system means possibly the difference between life and death.
Yeah.
The idea of growing your own food didn't seem like such an urgency 2 months ago. In fact, I had people say, I just go down to the supermarket. That's my garden. Mm-hmm. And now in the last month, people went down to the food market. And guess what? There was no food there.
Yeah.
So I am very hopeful. And one of the things I really, really love, Lisa, is in the last year, there's been over 1 million new gardeners, and a good portion of them are under 30 years old. So
that's amazing.
Our youth are getting it. And they realize that most of the food that we eat that's prepackaged, full of high fructose corn syrup and chemicals and
GMOs,
literally. And Lisa, listen to this statistic. 9 out of 10 Americans are micronutritionally deficient. Now, what does that mean? That means that we're getting full, but the food that we're eating is devoid of real nutritional value. And that's because everything's processed and stripped down. Yeah. And then when you see something that says fortified, that means they took everything out and they're just putting something back in.
You know where I learned a lot about this?
Where?
from Arbon. I'm an Arbon rep.
Sure.
And I use the products and I love the products. And boy, when we had seminars on nutrition and you learned about all of the toxins that your body holds and you learned about things like leaky gut syndrome, things that you would never know if you didn't really start paying attention to the food sources from how we consume our everyday meals, right?
So absolutely.
I think people are becoming more informed as society gets sicker, if you'll say. But it's, and you know, you started these Victory Gardens long before COVID. Like, when did you start that project?
Well, I started the foundation as a way of bringing down obesity and diabetes. And we started a Victory Garden stakeholder program where we actually, for a small donation, give you your own garden stake and a certificate, because our mission is to help grow 1 million new non-GMO Victory Gardens. And so that's a grand goal, but the bottom line is to make an impact. We want to get people to eat real food. And there's nothing quite as exciting as seeing a seed that you plant to sprout and then to eat. To literally eat the fruits of your labor is something that I find exhilarating. And, you know, Make 100 Healthy, my company, which the main goal is to, you know, make it to 100 years healthy. Did you know that the number one hobby of centenarians is gardening?
Yes.
And also,
yes.
Also, on the other end of the spectrum, yep. Kids that learn how to garden do better on their aptitude tests. And so I can't think of another hobby or activity that could literally span your entire life. You're outside, you're in nature, you got your hands in the dirt.
I believe it.
You're seeing something grow. It gives you purpose. It gives you a really good feeling of accomplishment. And really, it's a lost life skill that really we all need to know how to grow our own food for our own self-sustainability.
Yeah. I mean, in the early days, it was done out of necessity, right? Now it's kind of more of a hobby, but it's becoming more and more important as we worry about our food supply and our overall health. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you, if you would like, because I know you probably have a lot of younger listeners, and the whole concept of a Victory Garden started in World War I. President Woodrow Wilson declared it a patriotic duty to grow your own food in your own backyard, your own Victory Garden, to take the burden off the food supply. There was rationing back then, and so that we could send our food to the troops. The program was a great success. And
is that where the name came from?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And then the Victory Gardens literally grew. They grew in stature in the United States and Britain in World War II. And listen to this, Lisa. This is what gives me great hope. Mm-hmm. Back then in 1943, 40% of all the fruits and vegetables that were consumed by the American public were grown from Victory Gardens.
Wow.
And so what happened? We won the war. The program went away. Not only was that a bad thing that the program went away, it was good that we won the war, but it was bad that the program went away. And then it was double whammy because what happened in the 1950s? We had fast food, Swanson dinners, TV dinners. We had, all these foods that were packaged and looked good, but were having less and less nutrition. And then in the 1980s, we went overboard with a full corn-based diet, and then corn and sugar derivatives like high fructose corn syrup, and as you mentioned, GMOs. And today, our food has very, very little organic nutritional value. And that's why we have, between obesity and people overweight, we have 60% people that are overweight or obese, and diabetes is rampant. And most of the diabetes in our society is type 2 diabetes, which is mostly lifestyle driven. So That's what drove me to start the Victory Garden mission, to grow 1 million new Victory Gardens, to help people create a relationship with growing food and make that relationship a positive one so that they would continue to do so.
Okay, if I wanted to do a Victory Garden, why don't you do this? Let's take a minute. Give your website and your contact information so our listeners know where to go. I mean, we'll have them in our show notes as well, but let's do a shout out.
Okay, well, I'm going to direct you, if you want to learn how to grow a Victory Garden, I have a direct link that is, it's a free guide. It's called the 10 Easy Ways to Grow Your Own Victory Garden.
Is that what I got when I made the donation before I came on the show? I get a certificate. Is that the guide?
No, the guide is absolutely free.
Okay.
The guide's free. If you want to buy a garden stake or if you want to make a donation, you get a beautiful garden stake that shows you have your own Victory Garden.
That's optional.
That's optional. Sure. But the bottom line is that this guide is absolutely free and it gives you the 10 ways. So you could go to www.make100, that's numerical, make100healthy.com/victory. And that's the way, that's it. And it's based on the 1943 Victory Garden Manual by James Burdett, who was the founder of the National Garden Bureau. And I am so thrilled to be part of a community of people that love to garden. They want to share what they know. And it's just a great community. And there's so many people that are out there getting their own gardens growing. You can grow in the ground. You can grow in raised beds. Some areas like in Arizona, the soil's not great here. So a lot of us tend to do raised beds where we bring in our own soil. You have container gardening. Anybody can do anywhere.
Did I hear you say earlier that you can even do it indoors?
Absolutely. In fact, I have a tower garden in my home where it's all hydroponic. You don't get in the dirt. The vegetables grow from a vertical gardening is what it's called. And you put the little pods in and they grow. You could do it all year long. I even have a microgreen extension where I grow my own microgreens, which I love so much. And I got to tell you something. When I was younger, I liked soda. I liked sweets. I liked things that today, I haven't drank soda in years. To me, the taste is terrible. Because, you know, the more that you eat real good, nutritious food, the more your palate and your taste buds adapt to it. That's it, you know, so.
And then once you get off it, like a lot of salt, and then you have something, you're like, whoa, how did I ever like that before?
Exactly. So, I mean, I feel terrible for the average person in our, you know, American society. Everything is marketed so beautifully and wonderfully that everything sounds like it's healthy. The bottom line is that 90% of the food that we consume that is in our industrialized food production is not healthy for us or devoid of nutrition. I'm going to give you another example. And this is something that I was shocked to find. If you go to a supermarket and you get spinach, let's say.
Mm-hmm. I eat it every day.
Okay. So, but you may want to change the way you eat it now, because when you go to the supermarket, you pick that out there. It's taken anywhere from 5 to 7 days from that spinach to be picked, to be packed up, distributed, sent to the distribution center and into the store. It's anywhere from 5 to 7 days. Do you know that spinach loses 70% of its micronutritional value in 1 week? So even though you're eating spinach, if you're not growing it locally or getting it from yourself, you're only getting a third of the nutrition. Now think about this, Lisa. Over time, your immune system is getting compromised because it's starving for nutrition. And you know, just to segue for a second to this COVID-19 virus that people are dying from, most of the people that have succumbed to this virus had a pre-existing condition.
I was thinking.
Had diabetes.
And they were obese.
Obesity.
Yes, I was thinking that.
So, and what happens is that your immune system that is compromised goes into hyperdrive to try to fight the virus. And that's how you get the inflammation. And that's a lot of, the reasons that some of the people don't make it. So I think that the positive aspect of what's happening right now with this crisis is that we need to take care of our bodies. We need to be able to feed it really good fuel. And we need to be able to be goodwill ambassadors to get people to either grow their own food or buy from a local farm because you're not getting that transportation. And, you know, our local farmers are our heroes.
You're going to help keep them in business.
Well, I do. My foundation has given away thousands of dollars to local farms and gardening programs. We have a Gardeners of Destiny training program where we teach the next generation how to garden. And I'm coming out with a victory garden in a box. And the victory garden in a box is exactly what it sounds like. The seeds, some soil, some fertilizer, the how-to book, a watering can are all included in this victory garden. It's really glorified square foot gardening. But the idea is to have someone that has never gardened before have success. And if you start small, there's a good chance you're going to be successful. And if you're successful, then guess what? Next year, you might do a 4x4 garden, or you'll get your own vertical indoor tower garden, or you might go out and you have a parcel of land and you could do 100, 200, 300 square foot. My son Mike is 33 years old. He's a carpenter in New York City, and he's been out of work since this virus. He is doing a 300-foot garden. I'm so proud of him. And he's putting potatoes in the ground. He's growing the seeds indoors. And it's just very gratifying that my son is actually taking my advice and growing his own food.
Isn't it funny? We don't think they watch, but they do.
They do.
Well, my husband, you know, we're out of work right now, and that's what he did. One of the first things he did, he went into the backyard and he laid it all out, and he planted a garden. And it's very, it kind of helps him get through the day, you know, and there is that excitement and reward that comes from growing something, you know, from a seed. So how much would it cost? Let's say I have a young person or somebody who's working from home that wants to do something good for someone else and maybe donate the food that they grow. What would an upstart cost be for someone to plant a small garden?
We have a victory garden in a box, a package that starts at $50.
Okay.
And so for $50, you would get the seeds, you would get some soil, you would get the how-to guide, you would get a soil tester. Because one of the things that I found out is if you're without good soil, you're not going to really get the yield that you want. So you really need to make sure that your soil has the proper pH. It has, you know, a lot of soil people pat it down. No. You want your soil to be loose. You want oxygen in there. You want the water. You want it to be able to breathe. There's a three-seed transplant process where we go from different soils until you put it into the ground. There's so many little tricks. But somebody said something to me. Gardening is a lot like making soup. You know, everybody knows what soup is, but everybody puts their own little ingredients in there. There's really no right way or wrong way to garden. My daughter, she grows her own basil, and she just uses it for her salads, and she uses it on her mozzarella and tomato, you know. And so the point is that we really need to create a culture where we think that real food is the norm, not the exception. We need to get people to help each other understand that our big food companies, the pharma companies, even the medical model, they all have an incentive. They all have an incentive for us to have compromised immune systems, to need these drugs, to go back to the doctors. You know, the doctors have lots of medicines, they call them pills, pharmaceuticals that actually can make you feel better, sometimes do work, but mostly they're not getting to the cause. They're just treating the symptom. The real medicine, as Hippocrates said thousands of years ago, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. So true. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a perfect transition. So we talked about nurturing the physical self. Let's cross over and talk about the emotional well-being, the social emotional well-being, right? You think of moments and you think of people that have helped you to get where you are, right? They also planted the seeds, right?
Yes.
Right, there you go, to make John the person that he is. So I'm going to take you back a little ways, okay? Because people want to hear stories. They know where you are now. They want to know where you came from and kind of what was your path and journey to get you here. So when you think about this, were there a couple moments, and you can tell me about maybe when you were young, maybe you were a little boy, you could jump to high school or college. I know you had an early business, but what I want to get out of you, John, is were there certain moments in your life which totally blew you away? They were drop the mic moments that said, John, you know, hey, I believe in you. I see something in you, and you're going to do great things. And it could be a comment that was made, a person that took you under their wing. It could have been a teacher, a coach, a parent, a friend of a parent. Do you know where I'm going with this?
I want to say, Lisa, I know exactly where you're going, and I've been blessed to have so many mentors and so many people offer positive insights. Our mutual friend, Tom.
Oh my gosh. Everybody should have a Tom in their life.
He is an amazing man. And I'm grateful that he, you know, introduced us as well.
Yes. Connection, right?
That's a great connection. But I have to go back to one person. And my father is that person. And I'm so proud to say that because, you know, for when I was younger, I used to actually resent my dad and think that he was a big, you know, blowhard.
And many do.
And I'm going to give you a good. So my father always put his family first. My father always showed more interest in people before things. In fact, that's what he says. People before things, and experiences and memories and moments are what really makes up a life. It's not how long you live. It's the quality of how you live. So I'll tell you, my dad always said to me, you could have anything you want, but you have to go the extra mile. And he came up with a slogan, which I think he saw on a church bulletin board, but it said,
hey, there's some of the best, I have to say.
Well, listen to this one. There is no traffic jam on the extra mile.
Oh, I love it.
And so that means that even if you do your job, you do your job well, you're going to be okay, right? No. People expect you to do your job. Going the extra mile is what separates people. That's why they use the term outstanding, because you stand out. Mm-hmm. And so my dad was the one that really fostered that belief that anything can happen. And I'm going to talk about another drop the mic aha moment that changed my life forever, which was going to Tony Robbins' Unleash the Power Within.
Gotcha.
I went.
Was that
there.
That's the week long program.
It's not a week long. It's a 3-day deal.
Okay.
He comes and you walk on fire. You do the and he doesn't talk about God, but everything he talks about is about God. Mm-hmm. And he wouldn't say that. It's just he uses you instead of God.
Right.
So he makes you empowered to look at things in a way that you don't feel sorry for yourself. You empower yourself. And when I left there, I actually saw him 3 times, once by myself and once with each of my sons when they were very young. And what he gave me was the perspective of forgiveness, of gratitude, of cellular health. He was the first one to talk to me about cellular health. Mm-hmm. And I didn't, no one knew what cellular health was 25, 30 years ago, but today, without cellular health, you're sick and you're dying. Mm-hmm. But with cellular health, you could really be ageless. For those of your listeners that don't really know what cellular health is, our bodies are comprised of millions of cells. Those cells have a skin around them, if you will, called mitochondria. Mm-hmm. Those mitochondria, that is what the barrier is, that between the poisons and the toxins. When the cells get perforated, they shrivel up like a grape, and then they go and they die. So you have to keep yourself in good cellular health. That's through nutrition and hydration. So Tony Robbins was really the guy that made me look at my life differently. He gave me the concept of neuro-linguistic programming, where you can control what your mind focuses on. And when I was a younger man, I had a very successful DJ entertainment company, and I was doing very well. I sold the company to a world-famous basketball player and a computer multimillionaire, even a billionaire, and I got fired from that position 2 years after I sold the business. I was devastated. I had lost my whole identity for mm-hmm. something that I started. And
let me stop you for a second if I can. And
sure.
I want to say that for everyone that is in a situation where they may have lost their jobs, you know, and they associate their identity with that job, it's devastating right now. And that's why I want to hear your story, and I want them to hear your story, because, you know, we need to talk about grit and resiliency and how to get back.
Well, absolutely. You know, and I have to tell you, I've learned so much more from my failures and my challenges than my successes. Mm-hmm. Success is a
Me
great
too.
Result of hard work. A lot of times, though, when we are successful, we get complacent, we get lazy, we expect things. So, I lost my job, not just my job. I was an owner of the company. I got into litigation, and I had a lot of hatred for the people that wronged me. And I really was at a low energy level. I was, I was toxic in a lot of ways. And when I went to see Anthony Robbins, he said, "Why don't you forgive the people that hurt you?" And I'm like, "What are you, crazy?" Mm-hmm. And he goes, "It's not for them. It's for you.
It's for you to let it go."
I had a gentleman who is now a friend of mine again, mostly because of this advice. He had absolutely screwed me over. He had backdated or postdated contracts to show that they had already happened, and he was going to take those contracts. And I caught him, and he was a big player in my business, and I was so upset. And I said, "Let's have lunch." And he says, "Why do you want to have lunch?" I said, "I want to talk to you." So we get there to lunch, and he's nervous, knowing that he was a weasel and that he did the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. And I said, "I want to tell you, I want to apologize to you." He's looking at me incredulously. He goes, "For what?" I said, "Well, I want to apologize for my lack of leadership that allowed you to do the things that you did that you know you were not right."
Wow.
So it was on me. And the guy was blown away.
Totally disarmed him.
And I had this,
right? You totally disarmed him.
I had this dark cloud lift off of me.
Yeah.
Now, this gentleman grew his own business. It's a very big entertainment business. He emulated what I did. To this day, he's my biggest fan.
Yeah.
He gives me credit all the time. He's had people do to him what he did to me.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to me, he said, "I'm so sorry." And so the point is, when you forgive someone, it's good for your soul.
Right. It's not
it's
for
good
them.
For you.
It's not for them. It's for you. Because as long as you hold on to that, you're a prisoner.
Exactly. Well, and the fact is, you had to know.
And people don't realize how liberating it is to take that step to forgive someone. And it does. It takes a lot of courage.
Yes.
In fact, we have a children's book, The Adventures of Finley and Cisco. And one of the big points in the book is about forgiveness. And then, you know, it takes courage to apologize, but it also takes courage to accept the apology in order for it to come, you know, full circle. But something else that Brené talks about as far as forgiveness and joy and gratitude, I touched upon this in another podcast, that during times like this, right, John? When something good happens and you want to experience joy, but you know that there are so many others suffering and having a hard time, sometimes you're a little hesitant to share that joy, right? Because you almost feel guilty, like you're being selfish. Do you agree?
I tend to not succumb to that because...
Well, I have something to add to it, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I asked you. Go ahead.
I tend to drive forward to be a positive force because so many people are hopeless. So many people are depressed. So many people are uncertain. And if you trust in a higher power, in my case, I trust in God, I know He's going to take care of me. And so I try to present, I'm not this way all the time in my personal life, but I'd say 95% of the time, I am a positive force that looks at the glass more than half full. It's overflowing. And I wake up every day with an attitude of gratitude. And I thank God for being alive that day because we're not guaranteed anything. Well, you know, that's what they call today the present. And I thank God for giving me another day on this earth. And when we lose family, friends prematurely, we're blown away. So I try to live every day like it's my last day. And, you know, the old saying goes that they call today the present because it truly is a gift.
Yes. And I always say that why is it that we don't give time the value and respect it deserves until we have so little of it left? And the point that I wanted to add about Brené Brown is joy and gratitude. She's a researcher, and she said the people that tend to be able to lean into the joy of life and of those moments are the ones that practice gratitude on a daily basis. And, you know, I try to do that too. It's not always easy. You know, I have my good days, my bad days, my good moments, my bad moments. Right. But the whole goal of this show, really, and I appreciate you sharing your heart and your experiences with us, is that, you know, it's so important to connect with each other. It's too hard to go this alone. We're not meant to go this road alone. And, you know, there are plenty of ways to connect, you know, spiritually, through hobbies, through the gardening, through volunteering. And that's the other thing I love about the Victory Garden. Do you see any people growing gardens and donating a lot of the food to food banks right now?
Yes. In fact, the farm that I support gave away 24,000 pounds of food, fruits and vegetables to stay-ins, shut-ins, which are older folks, at-risk pregnancy moms, and the food pantries. These are great people that give away 80% of their food for charity. So,
that's amazing.
That's, you know, the fact of the matter is we're only as strong as our weakest link. And right now, there's a lot of people that are hurting. So for those of us that are blessed with a life of abundance, and I don't say abundance financially, although that's a good part of it. Abundance is having my father still alive in his 80s. I have four brothers and sisters. I have four beautiful children. I have a beautiful wife. I have a great network of friends. And I just... I'm loving life more than I ever had. I'm 58 years old. I feel ageless. I feel that I put a lot of hard work in to get to where I'm at. And now I want to help others to lift them up and to allow them to be their full great selves. Because everybody has their own greatness potential. And it's a shame that so many never really try to reach theirs.
Well, I think it's also about putting people in your life that, you know, surrounding yourself with people that are positive, that only want what's best for you and, you know, that love you, you know, for your faults, not in spite of your faults. And those are the people, you know, like our parents said in the old days, if you can count those on all, you know, on one hand, you're very blessed. It's not the quantity, right? It's the quality.
Absolutely.
And we all know who those are. So one more time, give the website and your contact information.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that are going to want more information.
The best way to keep in touch with me in an interactive way is via Facebook. Make 100 Healthy is our page, and Victory Garden Family is our private group. If you would like to get our free guide, please do so at www.make100healthy.com/victory, and the 100 is numerical, or feel free to email me directly at john@make100healthy.com. I am here to help people help themselves.
Well, you're doing wonderful things, and I am so delighted and honored, as I said, that you were willing to take a walk with me to share your journey with others, and I know they'll be inspired, and I really do hope they reach out to you. And I'm gonna take a look into this Victory Garden. It sounds wonderful.
I think you'll love it.
I know I'll love it. All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much.
Lisa, it's such a pleasure, and I love what you're doing, and I love the poem that you did, Moments, and I'm so happy that you're putting your positive force out into the world, because you have a great voice that we need to hear more of.
Oh, well, I appreciate it. Well, you know, it's helping to keep me going right now.
There you go.
And yeah, it really is. You know, you, as Mr. Rogers said, I can never do a show without giving Fred a shout out. At times, difficult times like these, often people find their purpose. So
absolutely.
This is what I'm doing with my
absolutely.
Time.
There's always a silver lining in any cloud.
Hey, you just got to be willing to look for it. All right, my friend, you be well.
Thank you. You too. Thank you, Lisa. Take care.
You too.